Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me go and introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have Chief Ralph Ornelas all the way from California. So thanks for being on the show, Chief. Also, we have Scott Steyer, a pretty impressive Special Forces background, including Green Beret, and a little unit called Delta Force, something like that. So thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it, guys. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com. We also have ComplaintTechnologies.com, and they are our satellite sponsor. You got to love that. We'll be talking more about them and their and my favorite product, the glove. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, that's Scott's company. Our arm sponsor, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming this show live to over a million followers. Also, TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So check the store out and some of the cool gear. And also, FishOrlandoBass.com. So Zach has got a bass fishing charter, and where else but Orlando. So now when you take the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, you have options. So do that bass fishing charter with Zach, or if you're feeling very adventurous, hook up with Zach and do the alligator hunting. It's catching and relocating the famous Florida alligator. So, and Scott knows what I'm talking about because he's from Florida too. So check that out. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns of the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and our very own Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about? Hey, we've got another operation in Oklahoma. And they're grabbing illegals that have these CDLs, these commercial driver's licenses. I think the last time we covered it, Scott, I think you were on the show too. So ICE and OHP, Oklahoma Highway Patrol, work together. They arrest how many? 70. That's 70 illegal immigrants, including 34 commercial drivers in Oklahoma. Sweep. Wait till you hear about this. And some of these dudes didn't even have the CDLs to be able to operate the truck. It's crazy. And then we got a New Mexico man, and he's also a National Guardsman. He's arrested for attempting to send military radio to Russia. And we have another Russia story coming up in a minute. Well, I'll just jump to that now. Australian guy pleads guilty to selling U.S. defense trade secrets to a Russian broker. So that's obviously, you know, an issue. We got body cam video shows a Chicago police officer shooting and killing a burglary suspect. That there's a lot going on there. Also, Newport Beach police, there's a video showing a suspect firing at officers before being fatally shot. We've also got East Hartford police officers. They shoot a suspect that's driving a vehicle, and it rammed a cruiser, and it ends up being justified, which is good. Then we have Fresno police. They released footage of an officer striking an armed suspect with a patrol car. Yeah, you don't have that every day. So I see, look, Ralph's already getting excited and we haven't even started, you know. So anyhow, without any further ado, let's jump to our main topic. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. This one's kind of light, not too deep, but it's covering national news. So Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, ICE and the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, they arrest 70 illegal immigrants, including 34 commercial drivers in Oklahoma sweep. Guys, we covered one of these operations, a couple months ago, and I don't remember the exact number. It was pretty impressive, pretty huge. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, we got all those illegals with the CDLs off the road, and I'm just stunned at the number, 70. So a two-day special emphasis operation called Operation Guardian, of all things, led by ICE, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and also the Oklahoma Highway Patrol. It resulted in the arrest of 70 illegal aliens and a significant focus of a commercial vehicle operators violating the state law. So this operation took place from October the 28th to 29th. It targeted illegal aliens that were operating commercial motor vehicles and those with criminal backgrounds. Of the 70 that were arrested, 34 were found to be driving semi-trucks or commercial vehicles while in the U.S. illegally. Okay, so 34 out of the 70, right? So that's really almost exactly half, right? And the group included, in case you guys want to know, 26 illegal aliens who have been issued CDLs, commercial driver's licenses, by states that were sanctuary, they had sanctuary policies. So, of course, you know, we're talking about California, Illinois, and, of course, New York. And I don't think anything's going to be changing in New York anytime soon with the new guy in charge. Then we had 8 illegal aliens who were operating commercial motor vehicles without any form of CDL at all. I mean, 8 of those guys. Wow. And so, I mean, it's bad enough when these certain states like California, New York, and Illinois are given the way these licenses to operate these huge, you know, multi-ton tractor trailers, right? Without checking for, you know, can you understand English? Can you read English? Can you understand street signs? Can you speak English? Are you illegal? You know, but now these guys are doing it without the CDLs. And so here's a quote saying, for the second time in just the past month, the state of Oklahoma and ICE, they have teamed up to bolster public safety along Oklahoma's highways, identifying and apprehending illegal aliens who are in the country illegally and who have been recklessly issued a commercial driver's license by states like California, Illinois, in New Jersey. And this is according to the ICE Enforcement and Removal Operations Executive Associated Director Marcos Charles. And then the Oklahoma governor, his name is Kevin Stitt. He echoed this by saying that to lawfully operate a commercial motor vehicle in Oklahoma, at least, you have to be here legally. You must be able to understand English. These are common sense standards that we will continue to enforce. So you got to love that. Oklahoma is today a safer place than it was before they did this operation. In addition to the driver violations, 36 criminal aliens were arrested. They had been convicted of crimes like assault and battery, soliciting prostitution, and driving under the influence. Two of the arrested aliens, they were reportedly wanted overseas. They had overseas warrants for fraud and burglary. Three others were criminally arrested during the operation for obstruction and resisting arrest. And they had detainers lodged in Oklahoma County Jail. The arrested illegal aliens, where are they from? 15 different countries, including China, Colombia, Georgia, Guatemala, India. Here's one I can't even pronounce, Mexico, and then Turkey, and Venezuela, and others. So anyhow, commentary on this gentleman, or any surprises, Chief Ralph?
No, it's shameful. You know, two out of the three states I used to live in, New York, and here I live in California, these sanctuary states allow this to take place. And, you know, let's face it, the 4 years of the Biden administration, they allowed probably 20 million people in, and they wanted to get people to have jobs. And so guess what? These states, Illinois, New York, and California, just gave driver's license out like it was candy on trick-or-treat on Halloween, you know. And you know, something, you know, it just makes me sick because, you know, working in other countries, as I stated once before on this show, you know, you could not do that in another country. You know, I worked in Central America. You have to have a Dewey card. You can't have a Dewey card unless they accept you in that country. And here we are doing this, and we're putting, the things that Scott did to protect this country and what you did in your city, Tampa Bay, and what I've done, you know, something, it goes against the grain and the common sense, you know, to put our citizens and our loved ones and our country in jeopardy. So go ahead, Scott.
No, I was going to say it's common sense. Like, I mean, this is keeping America safe, you know, safe. It's making America safer. I mean, period. And for anybody, like everybody who hears this should be alarmed. And I, like I said, the last time we talked about this before, this was a huge success. I'm surprised other states are not doing this, but I'm not surprised that they did another operation. There needs to be more like this in every state. But it just goes to show you what, and I would say the Democrats would do to get votes, you know, just give these people. I mean, you're talking about China, Venezuela, and some these countries are any of our states. Like, the last thing I want is somebody we have no clue who he is coming to our country, driving a tractor trailer, having access to places. You know, that's one of my biggest fears is, you know, taking something like a semi truck, filling it full of explosive, driving it somewhere, like, you know. But if you this is how I think, right? But all these people driving these trucks, now they have access and maybe placement to something, and they have an ability to really harm Americans. We don't know who they are. That's the problem. They could be terrorists, they could be criminals, they could be here for the purpose of doing that. You don't know, right? You know, so kudos to them. Hopefully other states follow suit. And we can clean this up. If they found that many people in that short of time, you can imagine if all the states did this. I mean, we would really do a good, it would go a long way to clean up a lot of these people.
I got to tell you, I got to give the governor Stitt kudos to that. I really do. And yeah. I wish California governor had the nerve enough to do it, and the New York governor, who she's just useless. But, you know, it goes back to what the governor said. You have to speak English. Yeah. So who's testing these people in California, New York, and Illinois?
They're not testing them. They're just signing it over. You know, it's like, it's a joke. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, not following laws Especially when you're talking about the government, whether it's state, local, federal, whatever, when they're not enforcing laws, it just becomes a joke, you know, and that's the problem. Like, it's like, I feel like this is out of control because there are laws in place. They just weren't enforced. And then you have states that are sanctuary cities that are just doing whatever they want for really, you know, a nefarious reason. You know, there's not, it doesn't help America to have all these illegals that we don't know about. You know what I mean? That's the problem. So, yeah, it's crazy.
When you stretch that rubber band out and allow things to take place, it only gets worse.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, guys, we're off to a good start, and we got a commercial break coming up. Hey, we are going to be doing a Gulls gift card giveaway today. So if you're watching the stream, type in the word Gulls and give us your email address if you haven't won in the last 90 days, and you'll be eligible to win. We want to get enough contest entries so that we can give one away during the third commercial break. This is our first commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless, right? But here's what's important. I want to remind everybody about this. Support the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that does it better than Gulls at Gulls.com. I mean, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gulls at Gulls.com. And we're not even done. They're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, I'm going to give you a radio code that they gave me to give to you. You can get 15% off your next order at Gulls.com. It's Radio15. So type in radio and the number 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gulls.com. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're giving away one today. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gulls gift card. They'll be your new best friends, Gulls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies and ComplianTechnologies.com. That is their website and how to find them. And you know, guys, we all know about the glove, but in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer four-hour fentanyl, and that should get Ralph excited. Fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And we're not done. They continue to kill for up to 24 or 28 days, keeping you protected both on and off duty. And with safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. And my name is Chip the Block. I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas from California and Special Forces Scott Steyert with Arrow Precision, or arm sponsor. So thanks for being on the show, guys. We've been talking about another operation in Oklahoma where they grabbed CDLs from illegals. And wow, they're talking about the criminal record of these guys. And then a number of these guys, a large number, didn't even have CDLs, and they're driving these huge tractor trailers. So just scary stuff. So anyhow, yeah, Oklahoma is now safer. Kudos to the governor. Are you guys ready to move on to our first update article? We got a couple Russia articles of all things. And I think if you guys, if it's okay with you, I'm going to cover these back to back because they're so closely related. So on the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, New Mexico man and National Guardsman arrested for attempting to send military radio to Russia. Now think about that. And we got two of these articles. So Canyon Anthony Armaris, 28 years old. He lives in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And he's a National Guardsman. He was arrested on Tuesday in connection with this indictment for the attempted violation of the Export Control Reform Act. The charges allege that he initiated a covert relationship to assist a Russian intelligence service and procure a controlled military, items like radio. So according to the indictment, he meets in person in February of 2025, this year, with an individual that he thought was a Russian intelligence agent. During the meeting, he allegedly signed a one-page agreement to confirm his covert relationship with this guy. As part of the arrangement, our bad guy agreed to two specific acts. He's going to photograph a military installation in Fort Riley, Kansas, and he's going to get a hold of a helicopter radio and give it to the Russian military for use. The indictment further details that in March of 2025, after he purchased the controlled helicopter radio, he traveled to Kansas to retrieve it and attempted to export it. and he was going to ship it to a recipient that was waiting in Romania. But all while that was part of the process to get it to the bad guys in Russia, the Russian intelligence agent. And so under U.S. export laws, regulations, the export of controlled items without a license from the U.S. Department of Commerce is unlawful. He reportedly understood that a shipment was illegal. He researched export regulations prior to his meeting in February of 2025. And he's been charged, and investigators recovered the radio that he was trying to get to Russia as well. And it doesn't say who the person was that he thought was Russian intelligence. But I'm suspecting it was one of ours. So Scott, why don't you start us off with this one? We got a little under 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's so disheartening to hear that, and I'm afraid that there's going to be a lot more of that. And the reason why I say that is because it's like how they opened up our military service and lowering the standards. And it seems like a lot of it started with Obama and Biden, of course, but it seems like there's an underlying group of people in the military now, to include officers, that they don't have that sense of pride and patriotism in our country. And it seems like our army is now, our military is infested with that. So I think this is just the beginning. I think there's people that are in the military who don't, believe in America, believe in America, believe, that are true, like loyal to America, And so I think this is the beginning. I hate to see it, but kudos to our federal, our FBI doing their job. They're not going after, now they're focused, not going after like church groups and PTO, a PTO meeting or whatever, they're actually going after true bad guys. And I feel like they were allowed to flourish under Biden administration. And I think this has probably been ongoing, but because we haven't put forth the assets to find these folks, so now we're finally doing it. So I hope we keep it up.
Agreed.
Yeah, well, Chip, Scott, and the audience, it tells you what just Scott talked about. It's about leadership. Everything's about leadership. I don't care what organization, private, public, army, Marines, it's about leadership. And something, when you set standards like the FBI is doing right now, and I've worked with the FBI, and there's some great people, they found something, and they found the Achilles heel, and they got this guy. And then I know you probably feel, Scott, being in the military, when you have a person like this person, National Guard, commits a violation of what we stand for, or you stood for, it hits you at the heart. Just like when I used to investigate some of my deputies who align themselves with a cartel that we found, God forbid, thank God we found them before it got people killed. So kudos to the FBI on this.
Yeah. Well, guys, we got one more coming. So I know there's another Russian.
I'm ready for that one because I know Joji Pirro. I mean, I met her and I love that lady.
She's in this, yeah. Tampa she's Free spicy. Press again. TampaFP.com. Have you, I hate to say, my wife showed me, she says, hey, look at her in a bikini on a boat not long ago. Dude, she freaking looks amazing. What's she like? She's in like her 70s or something?
73.
She looked freaking amazing. And it was my wife who brought it to me, but it was, I have to agree. She looked freaking amazing in a bikini, So Australian man pleads guilty to selling U.S. defense trade secrets to Russian broker. Of course, Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. So Peter Williams, 39 years old, Australian national, pled guilty in U.S. District Court. Two counts of theft of trade secrets for illegally selling to his employer's sensitive national security software to a Russian cyber tools broker. So U.S. Attorney Janine Pirro, alongside U.S. Attorney, our friend Pam Bondi, and Assistant Attorney General for National Security John Eisenberg, and FBI Acting Special Agent in Charge, Acting SAC Alexander Arnett, they all made this announcement together. So Williams, who was employed at a U.S. defense contractor, but it doesn't name him, stole the material over a three-year period from 2022 to 25. The stolen material included national security-focused software and at least 8 sensitive and protected cyber exploit components. And so the components were intended for exclusive sale to the U.S. government and select allies. The defendant admitted to improperly using his access to defense contractor secure network to steal the trade secrets. He then resold the components for the promise of millions of dollars in cryptocurrency. He entered into multiple written contracts with a Russian broker for the initial sale and follow-up support. He transferred the components through encrypted means, and you know, because I guess it's software, and he used to the illicit proceeds to purchase high-value items for himself, I guess via the crypto. We got 15 seconds left. I'm going to finish this when we come back from our next commercial break, but this is going to get even better, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense, Scott's company, by AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a line that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. Tier 1, 2, and 3, right, Scott?
That's
since
right.
Since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions, and that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you guys can start getting your hands on this primo stuff and their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less. When you can have the best, head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas from California, and also our Green Beret Delta Force operative, Scott Steyert. And, you know, yeah, he's not active anymore, but he is available for hire. And he's with AeroPrecisionUSA.com. So we left off talking about Australian man pleads guilty. Scott, stop holding up your cell number so they can hire you. Australian man pleads guilty to selling U.S. defense trade secrets to Russian broker is where we left off. And so continuing that story, we've got the Russian cyber tools broker is known to publicly advertise itself as a reseller of cyber exploits to various customers, including the Russian government. And so Chief Ralph's friend, Janine Pirro, our U.S. attorney, she stated that the conduct caused over $35 million in loss to the District of Columbia-based company. They're not giving the name of the company. And critically, quote, allowed non-allied foreign cyber actors to obtain sophisticated cyber exploits that were likely used against numerous unsuspecting victims, unquote. And she likened the brokers to what she calls the next wave of international arms dealers, which is kind of scary. And the penalties now, each of the two charges of theft of trade secrets, it carries a statutory maximum of 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000, $250,000, or twice the gain or loss of the offense. And here's who was investigating this. It was the FBI, of course, the Baltimore field office, and it gives the names to the attorneys involved, the National Security Cyber Section, and the Counterintelligence and Export Control Section. So yeah, we had a lot of really cool Fed partners that were involved in this. Chief Ralph, commentary?
Yeah, you know, the thing I'd like to know is this Australian man, how well was he vetted through? What kind of background they do when this man comes to this country working on behalf of a company? And I think that's critical on a lot of different levels of government. What is the backgrounds done? I don't care if it's law enforcement, military, this type of person coming over, working with a company here in D.C. You couldn't ask for a better person like Junji Pirro going after this person, and I believe Pam Bondi was involved in this. And circling back what Scott said, is the FBI has got a better focus now on how to approach these things, not like before where Scott mentioned they're going after parents who are going to school district meetings and stuff. So, you know, that's what I think Cash Patel and a good New York guy named Bam Bongino, what they're doing in their position right now.
Yeah, and they really need to set the example on anybody who does that. I mean, throw the book at them. Anything they could or anything they can do, like to make it to where like people who are doing this can go, man, you know, yeah, you got the money over here, but 20 years in prison,
That's right. Set the example
like that. You know, who even thinks like that? If you're really having the way between the money and doing something and it's just not worth it, dude, you're a bad guy. You know,
I know.
That thought would never enter our well, head.
It's true, because it's not even about the money, really. Like, you look at the NBA scandal. I mean, you're talking about players and coaches that make $20-30 million a year, and they're still doing illegal betting. It's like, what are you doing? And then I would always hear this, like, because, you know, I'm a UFC fan, and they're like, well, this is happening everywhere. And some people are like, well, because you're not paying the fighters enough. Look, I think fighters should get paid more. I mean, I think they have a rough job. However, that doesn't mean anything, because, I mean, the NBA just proved it. It doesn't matter how much you make. If somebody just has poor character, they're going to do whatever they want to do. You know, it doesn't matter. So you're right. I mean, it shouldn't matter, but, you know.
And, I want to point out the difference between these two. The first one, the guy didn't get away with it, but it was a physical item. It was that radio, and he was going to take – he could have taken the pictures. But the second one, he was just transferring. It was software. He was doing it through encryption. He didn't get away with it, but he actually did it. He actually gave it to the source to disseminate to Russia or wherever. So it's just kind of how wild how the first, they caught him before it happened. The first, but the second case, it happened, and then they researched it after the fact and charged the guy. He got, he almost got away with it.
Well, you know, the first incident, I believe somebody must have been an informant to the FBI, and they put in a agent who portrayed himself as a Russian spy. This Australian might have had connections already in Australia who already made these connectivities to Russians. And then guess what? His neighbor's working and supplied that information. So, that's the unfortunate part. But also, if I could say this, Scott, is this. You mentioned about the mindset. Philosophically, there are people that hate this country. And I don't care what much money you give them. They want to injure this country. And that's going to be a tough thing to fight. And we're going to have more of that stuff going what's going on right now in this country. Go ahead, Scott.
No, I agree totally. I agree totally.
We're gonna roll here, guys, and but good commentary on this. Let's cover the story with the first video component at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Body cam video shows Chicago police officer shooting and killing a burglary suspect.
Hey, Chris, what? Show me your fucking ass! Show me your fucking ass! Show me your fucking ass!
I've got some show notes on this one too, but yeah, so we're in Chicago, Illinois. This is how they roll in Chicago. Pretty wild. Shaming events began around 3:45 in the morning. So nothing good happens at 3:45 in the morning, and it's a Saturday to boot. September the 6th, Chicago police get a call for a burglary involving a vehicle, and it's in a South Austin neighborhood. The suspects got into a car. They flee. Officers find the getaway car a short time later. Police said the suspects intentionally crashed into two marked squad cars. There's three suspects inside the car. So they crash into two marked cars. So I'm going to go in and jump to my notes to make sure we don't miss anything, because it doesn't really give you enough information on the story. So they're chasing the burglary suspects, and they end up crashing head on into the first car. And it's a marked cruiser. It's got cops in it. And they crash head on into it. And then they put it in reverse. What do? They back up and they crash into the one that's pursuing them, right? And this is all on dash cam. This happens by 19 seconds into the video. You've already seen this stuff. And then while police are trying to extract all three occupants, so the police bail out of the cars that have been crashed into, and they've got both passenger side doors are open, and they're trying to grab these bad guys at gunpoint. and the suspect reverses into the officer behind him. The article says the officer got stuck in the car, but I think what they meant was he got stuck against the car, the bumper of the chase car, and that we're watching the body cam. And it looked, I don't know how he didn't get severely injured, but you can see him blowing rounds to the back window, the glass of that, of the bad guy's car with the three suspects in it. And he just opens up on them, rightfully so. And so, cause he, and then the guy moves the car again while he's backing into the officer that's between the bumpers of the chase car and the bad guy's car. The one of the open doors catches a cop that's trying to extract the bad guys out of the inside of the car, and that's a freaking mess as well. So now you got shots being fired from all these different directions. You got one suspect ends up dying. One escapes on foot out that passenger side, and he ends up – they chase him, but he gets away. And then they end up taking the third guy in the custody. So one dude that they catch survives, and then they show another dash cam from one of the other cars. And anyhow, they got dash cams and body cams showing just about every angle of everything that you could watch. And so commentary on this, gentlemen. Scott, you want to start us off?
Well, kudos to their aggressiveness. I like that. That's good. That's always good. But they need, you can tell there is a lot of lack of training on how to deal with that, because all those cops there, all that going down, and still a guy got away. Because they didn't have a tactic. There was no plan going forward. There's no way, you know, there are good tactics on how to, you know, go after, you know, assault a vehicle or extract people from a vehicle. And none of that was used. It was just basically a bunch of cats everywhere. You could, the way the guy was screaming, he was amped up. And even before, he was amped up before he even stopped the car, because he's like, and the guy's like, yeah, I got it. Relax, dude. You know?
Yeah. So, he was a little louder than that.
I think they were overcome with adrenaline and emotion. And I always say, like, that is a lack of training under stress. You know, anytime you train, you know, that's good, but you need to incorporate stress in your training so that when that happens, you've inoculated that. And when you encounter something like that, you're not going off the rails, and you actually are implementing a tactic to make sure that somebody doesn't run and get away, you know? Just a little bit, high strung and lack of tactics is what I would say on that, but kudos to their aggressiveness. I will give them A plus on that.
I agree with a lot of what Scott said, Chip, and the audience, and Scott. But let me tell you something. Teaching tactics my whole career, and tactics is everything. And when that car, if they knew they got a suspect vehicle, the patrol car was marked that came in and that the suspect hit head on. My time working patrol, we would have coordinated with each other, let the suspect go. Let's get our resources together. Let's go after this and conduct a high-risk felony stop on this vehicle, because by him coming in and the suspect hitting head-on, it accelerates the emotions and the out-of-control language. And then also, you're not thinking tactically. A lot of the officers are going emotionally. And when you hear, and listen, let's face it, Scott, you've been in battles. When you have a soldier screaming F this, that, you lose confidence in people with that. That's like when I used to do search warrants, when I had somebody like that, I yanked his ass out. He's in the tail end now. He's not going to be in the front anymore.
Very good.
All right, perfect timing, guys. Hold that thought. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as police officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Apianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas from California and our Green Beret Delta Force operative, Scott Steyer. So thanks, guys. if we've exhausted the first story, we'll go on with video number two, if that's okay. And sure. Ralph was just saying that there were some similarities between the two. So this story also has a video component. And for people that watch the show during a live show, if you guys want to see any of the videos that we actually talk about, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at leoroundtable.com. We have a link to it, or just simply go to rumble.com and type in Leo Roundtable, and you'll be able to see it. You can also on rumble.com type in Law Enforcement Talk Show, and that's the name of our feed on our channel that has all the videos on it as well. So we've got a couple ways for you to find it. But, you know, our live show is Monday through Friday during the lunch hour. That's 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. But these special videos that come out the very next day, we take a copy of the live show, and our producer will embed every video that we talk about as we talk about it. And that goes live the very next day, Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So a great way to watch the show. So on this one, rumble.com, this is Butters, the name of the law enforcement video channel we got the video from. Newport Beach Police. This video shows a suspect firing at officers before being fatally shot.
Back out on El Toro now, slowing down, coming up to Avenue of Dillon.
So, of course, Newport Beach, California, 31-year-old Rancho Santa Margarita, which is a location within California, suspected of fatally shooting a woman during a carjacking in Carlsbad. He fired at police while running toward an In-N-Out Burger in Laguna Hills, and he ended up being shot and killed by Newport Beach police. Now, this happened in September, so it starts on Friday, September the 19th, when Carlsbad police, they get a call to an apartment complex. There's a report of gunfire. Officers get there 9:53 in the evening. There's a woman who'd been shot. She ends up dying at the scene. And then the detectives find out that her car had been stolen by the bad guy. And they identified her as April Moore. She's 50 years old. So after midnight, technically the next day, a license plate reader gets a hit on her car in Laguna Beach and detects the stolen car. Bad guy's in it. Of course, remember, he's wanted for murder now. So shortly after 1 o'clock in the morning, September the 20th, Newport Beach police officers, they locate it, try to pull it over. Driver speeds off. And officers from Newport Beach Police and also Irvine Police, they join the pursuit. I'm sorry?
Irvine?
Yeah, I said that on purpose just to test you to make sure you knew how to actually pronounce that.
I'm listening to you very carefully.
So the chase goes into Laguna Hills, unless Ralph wants to call it Laguna. And I'm messing with you. And video released by the police, it shows the suspect identified as Andre Anthony Majavedovich. I mean, that's like a good Russian name, right? We're talking about Russia today. So he makes a sharp turn and he stops in the middle of the roadway. And he gets out of the car and he starts firing at the chase cars that are coming up on him. Several patrol cars, they end up getting struck by gunfire. Thank God none of the cops get hit. And so the guy, you know, the weird thing is that he does like a goes like he's going to do a U-turn. He ends up on the left side of the street, but then he runs while he's firing at the cops. He just doesn't stay on that side of the street. He parks on one side and he runs across the street, giving the cops a beautiful line of fire. And he wants to run to, unless he's hungry and wants an In-N-Out Burger, he's running, you know, he just didn't plan well. And he runs across the roadway. And as soon as he gets off the road and on the parking lot of In-N-Out Burger, he goes down. It doesn't say whether he got shot and went down or whether he tripped and went down. But when he goes down, it's not over. There's helicopter footage. It looked like it had thermal and infrared. And it's showing the guy on his back shooting between his legs. And he's still shooting at the cops, right? And so he's still firing at the cops, even though he's laying down. He's not in a prone position. It's a weird thing. He's shooting between his legs on his back. And so he continues firing. Officers end up approaching. They separate him from his gun. And then he ends up being pronounced dead at the scene. And thank God no officers, you know, are injured in this mess. And like I said, there's all kinds of civilian video, air service video, all kinds of video going on and great advertising for In-N-Out Burger. So, Ralph, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, and Chip, if I may, you stated the previous Chicago and this Newport Beach with similarities. No, I think there's differences. I think there was a very strategic tactical differences by a good differences on Newport Beach and Irvine PD. They communicated well with each other.
I see.
And the way that first officer from Newport Beach, when he positioned the car, when he saw that guy coming perpendicular on the number one, two lane, this guy did it purposely. He was trying to get a jump on them, come out of that door, and maybe thinking they're going to be closer in proximity to them, which they weren't. They stayed back. And I got to tell you, I got to give that first officer from Newport Beach kudos in his positioning, and not only shooting initially at the suspect from the driver's side, but he took himself to change his position, which we're always trained sometimes when you have the ability, change your position where the suspect doesn't know where you're at. And he went to the rear of the car and shot. And I got to tell you, that tactical approach by that first officer positioning, followed suit by the Irvine and good communication with Irvine and the fellow patrol officer from the Newport Beach. I got to give them kudos on a man. That's pretty. And let's face it, Scott, you've been in gunfights. Let's face it. Those young men, and maybe young ladies there too, did a hell of a job. Now that guy coming out the way he did aggressively, and I got to hand it to them.
Yeah, I much, much better. The one thing that I noticed is, and it's a great thing. I mean, obviously the way they all came in there, it was, you know, kind of in that situation. I mean, because this is what I hate to see is they come in and they're behind each other because the guy or the cop, whatever, the car, they want to park behind the other one because they feel safer. No, they all went in there, got online, and all got out and started exchanging fire. The part that was very impressive to me was the first cop. He opened up his door. I think he was in between his door and his car. Jim. And he's sitting there. And you saw where the bullet hit his. I believe it was his car or something, because you saw the glass or something.
Hit the door.
And he continued to shoot. That's how it's done. Like, that's, you don't think about. You shouldn't think about, oh my gosh, I'm getting shot at, I might get shot. No, you think, how do I end this? Well, here's how you end it. You put a bullet in a guy. And how do you put a bullet in a guy? You stay on your sights, you stay focused, and you continue to do what you've been trained to do, regardless of what's happening all around you. So even though he was taking fire, very close fire, he stayed in his sights and he did it. That is one of the hardest shots to take. I mean, they're running, you know, across them. It's not like he's coming forward, which essentially is like, it's not even really a moving target at that point. This guy's running for his life across while he's shooting. That's the hardest shot to take. Kudos to those guys. They got as many pistols in the fight as possible. I had a similar encounter where bad guys were running across. And I'm here to tell you, even, you know, highly trained, using lasers, everything, had to jump on them. It was a difficult shot, and I didn't get him on the first shot. You know, it took a couple. It's just one of those things, but they stayed in a fight. They were aware of of where everybody was at. They got online. It all looked safe. Kudos to them. And I'll tell you something else. Like, even though he's on the ground, that position of laying back and shooting between your legs, that's an extremely good position to shoot accurately. I mean, it's actually a shooting position to train if you need to shoot low or get under somebody, you know, to get down, lay on your back and shoot between your legs. You can take a very accurate shot like that, and you're a very low profile. Because at first I was like, why are they, you know, they're continuing to shoot. And I'm thinking, well, they must see something that I don't see. He was still moving. If that guy's still shooting in that position, he's a very dangerous suspect, because that's a very accurate way of shooting.
You know, Scott and Chip in the audience, I would love to see this criminal's history. What kind of training this guy, what his background, a criminal background, what he's been involved in. Because, I mean, as you stated, Scott, he must have had some type of training. He must have had some type of training the way because his accuracy in moving laterally, he hit the door, that first car's door, pretty damn good. Thank God didn't hit the officer.
Mm-hmm. So what did we not see in this video, Scott?
Screaming, yelling, madness.
No, you know? A long gun.
A long gun.
That's true. So we got 40 seconds.
They have them though. I know they do.
But yeah, probably in the trunk. You know. So
No, they got it in between the seats.
I wish they would think to get those long guns out.
It would have ended it quicker, and it would have been safer, because you don't have to worry about. Even though, I mean, it wasn't really a perfect backdrop. I mean, parking lots, but we got an In-N-Out Burger and stuff. So what would have been Well, let me. Well, I'll tell you what. We're coming up on. I'm going to ask you what you would have been involved in that shooting. What would have been your choice of fire from what Arrow Precision has. But first, let me just say that a great show, Scott Steyert and Chief Ralph Ornelas. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. And we're at that point where I want to mention the Wounded Blue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So if you guys haven't checked out the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org lately, please check them out. They got a lot of stuff going on. They got a summit coming up next year. They just had another successful summit. I think it was their fifth one in a row. So please check them out. I donate to them monthly. And you know what? They don't embarrass me. My money's going to a very, very good place for a good cause. So consider them out and helping people out with PTSD. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring this quality content to you. We've got our title sponsor, Gaulus.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Scott's Company, our arm sponsor, Gunlearn.com, Medicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com. They built a new law online store. And also FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.